Last week we began to introduce the sugya of machil nekodem biyadayim. Actually, the Gemara tells us that it's also in a Torah to cause a child to do an avera. The reason why we talk about this topic is that we're trying to give a series of shiurim related to inyanim of chinuch. At least according to the way some presented last week, this is kind of a subcategory of chinuch. Others said that this is nothing to do with chinuch. This is, even though the child doesn't understand what's going on, or according to some, the child will never understand what's going on, even if the child is a cheresh or a shota, they may still be an isur machal isur lekatan. At least according to the way some Rishonim presented it, the isur machal lekatan v'yadayim, the prohibition of serving traces to a child, or causing a child to be mechal Shabbos, or taking a kohen katan, bringing him to the Beis HaKvaros, all those examples that we gave last week, is clearly also in the Torah.
Is
that if you either literally give it or encourage it, anything that you are causing to do it is in Issa Minatora Tashas. So we'll go back to the first of the Maimakamos, where the Gemara quoted Psukim for this. So the Gemara Yivamus Kufidal and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Lo Sochum Kishatatim, Lo Sachilum, Lahazel Gedolam Alaktanim. So the Gemara clearly derives this from Psukim. The only thing is, the Gemara wasn't sure whether this Issa applies even if the Kotan is doing it on his own, or whether it's only violated if you actually encourage him. So we passed in Allah, it's only violated if you actually encourage him. Either you physically encourage him, or you, with words you encourage him, then and only then is this actual Issa going to be violated. The first opinion is that even if he's doing it on his own, you have to stop him. You have to actually...
Passively, not
no, you're in violation of this Issa deraisa of Lo Sachilum.
Because
I'm right? Yeah. So building on what we spoke about last week, let's try to take this one step further. What exactly are the parameters of this Issur, and what are some of the exceptions to this Issur? So we take a look at the second of the Memrakamos, the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Simin Shin Mem Gimel Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that Kotan Ochol Mevelos, Ein Beizim Mitzvim Lafrisho. If a child is eating non-kosher food on his own, the Beis Din is not required to intercede. That's where we pass him halach, like that day in the Gemara. Aval aviv mitzuva ligabo lafrisha. As we mentioned last week, that the father would be mechuyav to stop the child. But now, ulachilo b'yadayim, what about to feed actively? Also, afilu dvarim she'asur b'divrei sofrim. So says the Shulchan Aruch that to actually cause a child to do an avera would be also, even if the avera is not an avera d'araisa, it's only something which is traced within the d'rabbanan, that would still be a problem. And similarly, one is not permitted to cause a child, either through literally handing it to him or encouraging him to violate something that's also in d'rabbanan. So if I tell the child to pick up something that's mukta, that would be an isra of love sachimam, that would be an isra of machil b'adayim. So this... No, it wouldn't be an isra d'araisa. This is only d'rabbanan. Right. So this statement of the Shulchan Aruch that this is also, even if the Isra involved is only an Isra Midrabanan, this is already a big question. This doesn't appear in the Gemara. All the examples that the Gemara gave in the first three Mamakamos were talking about Lo Sochum Kisheketeim, or the other examples the Gemara speaks about, not the Idam, Mahazig Dol Maktanim, or the Isra of Tumas Kohanim, Mahazig Dol Maktanim. All the examples of Mahazig Dol Maktanim that appear in the Gemara are all Isra Midrabanan. How does Shulchan Aruch know that this Isra carries over to the Rabbanans as well? So we got it from the Rambam. The Rambam says in the Feirish that this din of lahachal biyadayim applies to the Torah to deraisa the kisurim and the derabanan the kisurim, but this is not agreed upon by everybody. So we take a look at the Bihalocha in Simin Shin Mem Gimel. So the Bihalocha makes mention of the fact that Rishonim will disagree with the Rambam, and therefore by definition disagree with this statement of the Shulchan Aruch. The Das Rashi of the Aran, the Matinok Tzorach Lekach Mutter Afilu Lispos Lo Biyadayim Davishu Asa Bederabanan. The Rashi and the Aran are of the opinion that if the child needs the object, we'll see in a moment why that makes a difference, if the child needs the object, then it would be permissible to feed the child, even be a daimamish, if I literally hand him something, a trace to eat, as long as it's only trace from the Rabbanah. So the Rashi and the Ran hold there are two conditions that have to be met in order for the Issur L'Hachal not to apply. Number one, it's the Tzorech HaKotan, the Kotan has some kind of a need, not a Tekuch Nevesh need, but some kind of a need. And number two, the Issur is only with the Rabbanah. So nevertheless, says the Bi'alokha, but Shulchan Aruch didn't quote the opinion of the Rashi and the Ran. Shulchan Aruch was quoting the Rambam, that there is no exception to the rule, whether it's a Tzorech HaKotan, Tzorech HaGadol, the Rice, the Rabbanan, everything is going to be also. So the question is, how do we pass in the Halacha? Do we follow this blanket statement of the Shulchan Aruch that I'm not permitted to give muktzah to the child, I'm not permitted to give shalachim to the child, I'm not permitted to cause the child to do any Yisrael, the Rabbanan, under any circumstances, or is there a little bit of a leeway, if it's only midiraban and the sechah katan, maybe there are grounds to negotiate. So says the Be'alacha b'kotu b'shuus b'nei kiveiger. So the kiveiger discussed the shayla ma'isa, the following application: about tiltul asvan lebeis hakneses b'mokam shen eruv al yedei tinok. But is the Be'alacha, if you live in a place where there's no eruv and you want to get a sitter, you want to bring a sitter to shul, you want to bring a chumash, you want to bring a sefer somewhere, so obviously you're not going to carry it yourself. The question is, can you ask your child under the age of bar bas mitzvah to do the carrying on your behalf? So that's the shayla. So if we're dealing in a place where carrying would be asa min ha-Torah, then there's nothing to discuss. Then obviously that's an issur deraisa, lahachal biyadayim. To hand the chumash to my child and say carry it into the rishis rabim deraisa, that's out of the question. But 99% of the time, the areas that we're not permitted to carry in are only prohibited mid the rabbanon. In order to be an issur of carrying min ha-Torah, a lot of conditions have to be met. After it's called the rishis rabim deraisa, in the days of the Rishonim, it was almost impossible, if not almost impossible, just about totally impossible, to have an area that was a Shisaram Deraisa. According to some opinions, a Shisaram Deraisa is only constituted if there are 600,000 people who are traveling in that area. In the days of the Rishonim, the towns in Europe were two-by-nothings, little villages. They didn't have anywhere near 600,000 people. Most of them didn't have 600 people in them. So clearly they were not Shisaram Deraisa according to those positions that you need 600,000 people. Even if you deny that requirement of 600,000 people, so you have to have streets that are a certain size, they have to be 16 amos wide, perhaps the streets have to be straight. So again, each one of these conditions is questionable and machloksim about how and when they apply. But suffice it to say that there are many, many areas that we have, and the town that Shveger was talking about was probably only midirabanan. So if the area is only midirabanan, we could actually prove, at least for us, that most of that area is only midirabanan by the fact that we have eruv in the first place. The Gemara says that if you have an area that's a rishus rabim deraisa, then the only way to make an eruv, you have to pull the wall down, you have to surround it with doors. You can't just put up make-believe hocus-pocus, what's called the tirsa pesach. Tirsa pesach means you put up a pole over here, a pole over here, and a string across the top. So the Gemara says, that's all very nice, tirsa pesach, but it doesn't work in an area that's rishus rabim deraisa. So by the mere fact that all of our cities, all of our towns build eruvin, so we're working with the assumption that for whatever reason, for many possible different reasons, but for whatever reason, our areas are not rishus rabim deraisa. So Bikinegu is working with that assumption also, that the area involved is not rishus rabim deraisa. If so, is there any heter for me to ask the child to carry this svarim? So according to Shulchan Aruch, there's nothing to discuss. According to Shulchan Aruch, how could you possibly think of asking a katan to carry something for you, even if it's only nisa derabanan? You're not allowed to be machil be a dime even for nisa derabanan. But according to the Rashba and the Ran, we can begin to discuss, because according to the Rashba and the Ran, if the yisur is only mid derabanan, so then maybe sometimes you're allowed to be machil be a dime nisa derabanan. So it comes with the Kivegman and says we can discuss. And that's still to us from the basic nesses. The makom shen erevay deitinos iyesh lismoch bazel a Rashba the yisur derabanan tefilu lebi a dime. So the question that was presented to the Kivegman was, can we rely on the Rashba against the Shulchan Aruch? So the Heishiv, the Kivegah said it's not true. The Zaina, the Haran Kosa Brekel Kisil Hedja, the Afla Rashba Safidim Erach Letzarcho, the Lo Letzarchenu. So says with the Kivegah, no, but if you look in the Rashba and the Ran, the only het you could even dream of giving a Kotan and Nisad Rabbanan, that's if there's some kind of benefit for the Kotan. But if I'm doing it for my benefit, I want a Daven, I need a Chumash, that's not going to work. V'yazda Machinu V'yadayim. So says Rabbi Kivega, forget, you have to stop the cotton. You can't, if he's over chinuch, you can't hand it to him. So says Rabbi Kivega, can we possibly salvage the shayla? Is there any way we can make a mutter, at least according to the Rashba and the Ran? So says Rabbi Kivega, we can pull off the following trick. V'yesh takana liten matina chumish v'sidr, sh'yisal abeisek nesas, but tzorch afmo v'spala, v'shmak v'sator. Says, what's the din the following case? I have a chumash and a sitter. I want to get it from my house to the shul. There's no eruv. So why do I really want it? I want it because I want to hear Kriyas HaTorah. I want it because I want to be able to daven. But I say my child also needs to daven. The child also wants to pay attention during learning. So I say to the child, listen, take the chumash, take the sitter. So you have a sitter in shul. So you have something to use. You have something to follow on Kriyas HaTorah. So, then you can negotiate. Maybe it's mutter. According to the Rashba and Iran, if you only miss a derabanan, for the carmelist, it's not a rishus ram deraisa, it's only what we call a carmelist, which is rishus ram deraisa. And it's the tzorech hakatan, because the katan is going to use it. He's going to use it to daven, to learn from, to be a learning from. So it's okay. So as long as I'm formulating this request, the tzorech hakatan, I'm doing it for the katan's sake, then it's going to be mutter. And then the Kivayah says, and by the way, by the way, if the child already brought it there, and the child's davening shmaneser, I put him over his shoulder. That's okay. I could share his siddur. I could share his chumash. There's no issa for me to use it. As long as I constructed a scenario that is being done, basically with tzorach hakatan, even though, of course, we know it's also being done with tzorach atzmi, but since I created a legitimate tzorach hakatan, so then maybe b'shas v'chach we can rely on the Rashi. But again, according to the Shulchanach, according to the Shulchanach, who passes like the Rambam, that he assumed the Rabbanan and assumed the Raisa are on equal footing in terms of asking katanim, so there's nothing to even discuss. But according to the Rashi, Kivega's chaf and his tshuva was to transform a case that would have been also even according to the Rashi and the Ran, that maybe turns out we can make a mutter at least according to those who shown him, as long as we formulate the request the tzorach hakatan, not the tzorach hagadol. That's a good question. It's a very good question.
The
jump,
because we assume that the original
Ikhul
is Achila.
Right.
And now we're taking it farther away.
No, but the Gemara says it by Shabbos also. The Gemara in the end of the 16th day of Shabbos has it by Shabbos also.
Yeah, so even though it's derived from the Pasuk, not Achila.
Well, the two we're going to talk about a little bit later. By Shabbos is a pasuk also of the Pashas. So we're going to talk about that as we get to the end of the shiur. Right, we have the Rishum also. Right. But where did the Rashi and the Ran get this distinction? I understand you want to tell me that the Rabbanan is a mutter. You want to tell me that the Chum never made a gezeira the Rabbanan to ask a child to do an issa for you. I can understand that. But what's the mokra, what's the source in Chazal to draw a distinction in terms of what the goal is? Is the goal child-oriented or is the goal parent-oriented? Like either you take the view of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that everything is also, that it's also l'hachal v'yadayim, even isurim the Rabbanan and finish, or you should take the opposite approach that it's mutter. If you hold that the Rabbanan everything is mutter, it's mutter. So where does this come from, this idea that if it's b'tzorech atzmeinu, that's the problem. If it's b'tzorech hakatan, then it's going to be permissible. So this is based on the Gemara Masechet Eruvin and Daf Nem and the next in the Mamakomos. There's a Maramokha we spoke about in the past in many, many different contexts. The Gemara is discussing in Masechet Eruvin, not really the Sugya Machab Yadayim. The Gemara is discussing the Brach of Shechiyanu and Yontif. So slightly related, but not really, but we'll see how the two Sugyas relate to one another. So the Gemara says that we have a rule called Shechiyanu Omer Filu Bishuk. You could say Shechiyanu in the middle of the street. Let's say a person totally forgot to say Shechiyanu and Kiddush. And all of a sudden he remembers the third day Chol HaMoed, he's in Six Flags. He's going down the roller coaster as he's saying Tzvot HaDech. He remembers, all of a sudden, you know, I forgot a couple of nights ago to say there, I forgot to say Shechiyanu. So the Gemara says, Omer Filu Bishuk. You could say it Mamish right then and there, because the Shechiyanu really relates to the Yontif. But the truth is, when we say Shechiyanu to say that, we're really saying a double Shechiyanu. We're saying Shechiyanu for the Yomtif, and we're saying Shechiyanu for the Mitzvah Salayim. That's the first time this year eating matzah. So we take one Shechiyanu and knock off two dimensions, two different kiyumim with one Shechiyanu. Let's say the first night of Sukkot. We say Shechiyanu, and we're poter the Shechiyanu of the Mitzvah of Sukkah, as well as the Shechiyanu of the Yomtif. But in theory, you can have one without the other. So the person remembers, the last day of Pesach, the son's about to say, the father forgot to say Shechiyanu. So he says Shechiyanu then. So Shechiyanu Omer Filu B'Shuk. So comes the Gemara and says, even though that's true, it's not l'chatchila. The proper way to Shechiyanu is ala kosher yayin. We always try to make brachas ala kosher yayin. We make a bracha by a bris milah, we make it ala kosher yayin. We make brachas erusin, brachas nisuna over kosher yayin. Many people make brachas amazon over kosher yayin. So we always try to enhance certain brachas by doing them over kosher yayin. So the same is true when it comes to Shechiyanu. L'chatchila, we should say Shechiyanu ala kosher yayin, which is very convenient because we're making Kiddush anyway. So the best time to say Shechiyanu is taka over the kosher Kiddush. This is in fact the reason why many folks came out an issue why women recite Shacharim when they bench Lech Yontif. It seems to be Shalai Kedin, because why are they losing out the Kiyam of the Shacharim on the coast? The whole point, the whole reason why we say Shacharim by Kiddush is Dafka to enhance the Shacharim. It should be Dafka Lekal Shayahim. The women go ahead and jump the gun an hour earlier and they say Shacharim when they bench Lech, thereby losing out that Kiyam. So there was some post-Kiyam who wanted to change the Minhag. So the Yaakov Emden writes in a tshuva that he tried to change the Minhag. He tried to change it with his own wife. He told his wife to stop saying Shacharim by Lech bench. You can just wait till he comes home and he'll say it's the Kiddush and he makes it her. And she told him no. She said that's not what it is. So he writes that his wife said her mother did it this way and her grandmother did it this way. That's what she's going to do. So Moshe Sternbach writes in the Sefer Modern Muzmanim to try to defend the Minhag Yisrael. Where are the women, the Heilige Jewish women who say Shacharim on the bench left? So Sternbach suggests that the whole idea of saying Shacharim on the coast, it's not that it's not dealing the coast. What does it have to do with the Yayin? What does it have to do with the Kosher Yayin? Kosher Yayin is an Indian of Chashivus. Kosher Yayin takes the bracha to a certain level. Instead of saying the bracha on the roller coaster, which is just a very, very akroi, very, you know, kind of a, you know, a strange way of making a bracha, it doesn't give this proper significance to the bracha. So Chazal said the most important thing you can do is to say on a Kosher Yayin. So for women, when they bench lech, that's the highlight of the Yom Tov. For them, that's the most chosher thing. You ask a woman, what is considered to be the highlight of the Yom Tov? When the husband makes Kiddush, that's not the, but when she benches lech, that's the real McCoy. So for the women, that's considered to be, in effect, the equivalent of the Kosher Yayin. The Shtemach is a Shtickle Torah to explain the Minhag Yisrael. Whatever it is, except, don't accept it, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, Me'ikar Adin, you can say it without a Kosher Yayin, but Lechatchila you should say it with a Kosher Yayin. So the Gemara raises the question that maybe in Yom Kippur, when we do recite Shechiyon, we say Shechiyon in Shul and Yom Kippur, why don't we recite a Kosher Yayin? Let the Chazin get up and make, everyone should say, right after Kondadre, Shechiyon of the Kimar, Yom Zman, is that holding a Kosher Yayin? So the Gemara says, no, that's a problem. You know why it's a problem? Yom Kippur Mechi Oven. How would you possibly do that? Even if you're going to make the bracha and then drink the wine, even if you're going to say Kol Nidre Mibiyom, you're going to say the Shechiyanu before it's actual Shkia, but once you said Shechiyanu Mibiyom Lazman Hazeh, that's an absolute Kabbalah Yom Tov. You can't go ahead and drink at that point. The Rishonim point out, you see from this Gemara, that even according to some Rishonim who say that you could bench Lech Talat tonight. When a woman benches Lech, so as Machlekes of Rishonim, can she make a condition that she's not Makabal Shabbos? So the Rishonim point out that that's true when she just benches Lech. But if it would be a Yom Tov benching Lech, that she would say Shechiyanu Kibal Lazman Hazeh, that's Mamash Lechonis. How can you say Lazman Hazeh and then turn around and get into the car? That's ridiculous. That's what the post can point out. You have to tell women when they bench Lech on Yom Kippur night, so when if they want to still drive to shul, so then it's not enough for them to make it tonight. Making it tonight, maybe b'shas of chak, you know, works for the regular Shabbos. But in Yom Kippur, if you want to make it tonight, then you cannot say Shechiyanu. Then the women have to wait for Shechiyanu with the shul, because once you say Shechiyanu, the Gemara the Feirish, it's all better off. So comes the Gemara and says, so how are you going to say Shechiyanu or Kosher Yayin? To say the Shechiyanu and drink the wine, that's out of the question. So the Gemara quotes from Rav Yirin Bar Abba, he asked Rav, once you're Mekabel Shabbos, can you do Malacha? So Rav said, no, you're not allowed to do Malacha. In Badilna, you have to separate from doing Malacha. So once you're Mekabel Yom Kippur, obviously you can't drink the wine. So says the Gemara, Livrach Alei V'Limchei. So maybe you should make a Bari Priya Gofen and say Shechiyanu, and don't drink the wine, just put it down. And what's the name? You can do that. Once you made a bar priyagof, then you have to drink the wine. So what do you do now? Just to make a shechiyan, holding a cup of wine without a bar priyagof, that's ridiculous. What do you accomplish with that? So you have to make a bar priyagof. So to make the bar priyagof and drink the wine, out of the question. To make a bar priyagof and not drink the wine is also out of the question. So the Gemara says, lace the yanuka, let's give it to a child. We'll call in the little 5-year-old kid, and we'll make a bar priyagof, and we'll hand him the cup of wine. So the Gemara says, no, lace the Rav Acha. This suggestion was made by Rav Acha. And we don't hold like that. Duma asul misrach. Why don't we hold like that? Because we're afraid that the child may think that, hey, well, the rabbi calls him in Yom Kippur night right after Kodesh to drink a cup of grape juice. Well, this must be what we do every Yom Kippur. So when he's 5 years old, do you think that's part of the Seder Yom? And the 6 years old, when he's 12 years old, and then when he turns bar mitzvah, so he's going to think, yeah, right after Kodesh, the rabbi forgot this Yom, did he go take the cup of grape juice? The cup is not going to be realized that we only gave it to him because it was a cup. So basically, it's very poor chinuch. So it's called Asil Misrach. Rishonim have a machlokes, does this carry over to a bris on Yom Kippur? Because some Rishonim say this is only true by the Shechiyama and Yom Kippur's Pochina, because it's every single year this way. A bris in Yom Kippur, once every 10 years, you have a bris in that shul in Yom Kippur. Who's going to remember? You gave it to the 6-year-old now, 7 years later, he's never going to remember that he drank it. So some Rishonim say it's not a problem. And that meaning is it is a problem. We assume that we do not give it the grape juice or the wine to a katan on Yom Kippur, even if it's only once every few years for a bris milah. So there are different Hagam and Rishonim. What do you do? So if we don't want to give it to the katan, what do you do? So some Rishonim say, so you don't make the bracha, forget the bracha. And the Ramah quotes the minhag that you give it to the baby, which is a paladika minhag. The baby is under the age of chinuch, it's only 8 days old, so he doesn't understand the bracha. It's a paladika Ramah. So another time we have to speak about that Ramah maybe. But Achopan, getting back to the story, so the Gemara says that it's poor chinuch, you can't give it to the child. So why can't you give it to the child? Because the child may end up thinking that if we're calling him in to do something, if we're encouraging him to do something, and clearly he doesn't want the grape juice, he's not interested. Well, it's for our purpose. We want to make the bar priya gofen. That's when duba asul mesrach kicks in. So that's what the Rashi and the Ram say, that even though technically speaking, lahachav yadayim, the nisad rabbanu really should be mutter. It should be mutter to feed a child, the nisad rabbanu, of all circumstances, whether it's for our tzarech, whether it's for his tzarech, everything should be mutter. But we can't do it. It's poor chinuch. That's why we give a chinuch shiur. It's poor chinuch. Because for us to encourage the child for our purposes, that he's going to think he's doing us a favor, he's going to think that that's okay, that's going to lead from michshol down the line. So the Rashi and the Ram got this idea of us and the Mishrach a little bit from this Gemara. So we have three logical possibilities about Isurim Drabbanan vis-a-vis Ketanim. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are the most extreme, that everything is Asur under all circumstances. Paying for our purpose, then this purpose, the Rashi, the Rabban, everything is Asur. You have the other potentially logical extreme that the Rabban is everything is Mutar. And then you have the Rashi and the Ram who say, well, that extreme may be logical, but it's not true. The Rashi and the Ram have the middle approach that Letzorech HaKotan is Mutar, Letzorech HaGodol is going to be Asur. So how do we pass in the Lachas? So the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. Then we can make a Rashi, it's a Shas of Chachm. If it's a real Tzorech, then maybe we can make at least like the Rashi and the Ram. So we're back to the question about the potato chips, that, you know, it depends how much the Tzorech it is. Such an unbelievable Tzorech, the kid's going to be mamish hysterical if he doesn't carry the potato chips to shul, so then he probably shouldn't come to shul. But if for whatever reason you have to take him somewhere, he's going to be mamish, it's going to be crazy. If the Tzorech HaKotans, then maybe that would constitute a Shas HaKot. But if that's not the case, if it's just for fun, the kid should have the mash to eat, so that would not be correct. That would be Machal B'Yadayim, and we shouldn't really rely on the Rashi and the Ram against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that even Yisroel and Rabban are going to be also. So again, we pass him somewhere in the middle between the Rabban against the Rashi and the Ram.
So the Kiva Avin's case was a great Tzorech because of
Sia. Of what it got him. Yes, it got him.
I mean, assuming that
there's no sin in children, no Torah.
Well, you can have my heart, but not
whatever it is.
The potato should be much different.
I don't know. Some kids may say there's a bigger Torah.
The kids are playing
ball in the streets.
I don't know.
Pasha says that Dvarim is under chinuch, which makes the Rebbe Kivegas very hard to understand. Because the whole game of Rebbe Kivegas says in Tshuva is that you give it to the child and he's going to daven. If he's so young, how's he davening exactly? So now I'll tell you the truth, I never understood the Rebbe Kivegas. Because the Pasha says that even the Mekilim only make him is only Yil Chinuch. If the kid's 12 years old, so then nobody says, even if he's doing it by himself, I have to stop him. So Kavachon, I can't hand it to him. So it's a pella, this Rebbe Kivegas, I'm not sure.
Isn't there enough
love to stop him? No, but if everybody agrees that if it's your child, father. Not everybody agrees, but yeah, we assume the father you have to stop him.
Yeah, but
then the
still work.
I don't know.
This
issue of Hachal, so we've been talking about, we began to talk last week, we're moving to this week, that this is maybe chinuch oriented, possibly it's somehow related to chinuch, but the post could point out that it's not classic chinuch because it really breaks the rules of the gila chinuch. Normally we assume, as we mentioned, the Hagdama last week to the first year of chinuch, we mentioned that before a child is a gila chinuch, it's nothing. There's no mitzvah whatsoever to put you have a 6-month-old baby to put a pair of tittus on him. So what are you accomplishing? To take the 2-month-old baby into the sukkah. It's cute, but it's not, there's no, you don't accomplish, there's no mitzvah whatsoever. Shammai has ochim, we said last week, he held, you bring even the baby into the sukkah. But we don't pass like that. So the real chinuch doesn't exist when before the age of the gil, the chinuch. However, this isur l'hachal b'yadayim does apply. It means I'm not allowed to feed, let's say I want to feed tray for baby food to my child, unless it's mamish b'kuch nefesh, that would be a problem. So this, even though the child is not a gil chinuch, somehow this isur l'hachal b'yadayim applies. At what age does l'hachal b'yadayim actually begin? Does it start when the child's born? So maybe it starts not only when the child's born, it may even start before the child's born. So there's a famous discussion we've had in previous shiurim in different contexts. That's the last of the Mamar Kamos. That's the Shach in Yeraday and Simin Shinai and Aleph, Sivkot and Aleph, where the Shach quotes the following Shach. We mentioned that I'm not permitted to, let's say, I want to push a baby Kohen into the basic Kavara. So if it's my child, somebody else's child, I would not be permitted to take the baby Kohen into the base at Kvaros. So comes the Shach and it quotes the name of the Rekech, Chosav HaRekech, one of the Rishonim, Simin Shin Samach Vav. The bottom of the Kohen is Eishes Kohen Shemu Beretz Muteres Nikonis Be'olam Eis. If you have a wife of a Kohen who happens to be pregnant, she would be permitted to go into an Olam Eis. She can go to a funeral, go to the Beis Kvaros. That would be okay. What's the Shaila? So the Rokech is working with the assumption that this may be a problem, because if it turns out that this is a male Kohen, then the Eishes Kohen who's walking into the Olam Eis, she's walking into the cemetery, so she is being the Tamei this Kohen B'Yadayim, so that would be L'chora problematic. So comes the Sefer Kech and says that maybe it's Mutter anyway. Why? The Sveik-Sveikahu. We could still permit it based on a double suffix. What's the double suffix? Shema Nefalu or Shema Nekevahu. Says the Rekech, in theory it should have been Osir. Why in theory should it have been Osir? Because it's Machab Yadayim. Why is this any less Machab Yadayim than if the child's born? The Rekech assumes the Yisrael Machab Yadayim begins even before the child's born. But it's going to be Mutter anyway based on a double down. What's the double down? Maybe it's a girl. 50 chance, maybe it's a girl. And even if it's a boy, maybe it's a Nefel. Nefel means that the baby is not really going to be a term, full term. The baby's not really going to survive. So let's say the woman's now in her 6 months. So how does she know that this baby is a viable child? So it's a sofek. So that's considered to be a sveik-sveika, and therefore it's permissible. So the starting point of the Rekech was, v'hachal v'yadayim applies, and av v'chein, the Rekech came up with a heter. The heter was, you have a sveik-sveika on your side. So the question becomes,
what's the vada, what's the issue? Is that child called a child? Is that Uber called a child?
Yes, that's what the Rekech is assuming. That's called L'Hachal B'Yadayim, yeah. That's considered L'Hachal B'Yadayim, even though he's not born yet.
We have
other places
where we see a fetus has a dinim of a...
That's the question. So that's already a topic in and of itself, what the status of the fetus is. But the Rekech and the Shach are definitely assuming that the Yisrael L'Hachal B'Yadayim applies to the fetus, but they can be mapped based on this, on a technical quirk, the quirk being that's a sveik-sveika. So the issue is whether this kula really applies to the Zman Hazeh. So we spoke about in the past that there are many posting who question whether we can rely on the sveik-sveika of the Zman Hazeh. We have a rule in Uchos sveik-sveika that's called Efshel Avarer. The Shach writes in the Simen in sveik-sveika at the end of the first Chedek V'Yerdea that it's not called the sveik-sveika if it's Efshel Avarer B'Kal. If you can easily resolve the doubts, one of the doubts, two of the doubts, you can easily figure out what the facts are. You can't just hide behind sveik-sveika. Sveik-sveika is nebuchad. There's no way to figure out what the facts are. So then we have a special principle of Ksubas Daf Tes called sveik-sveika. But here the chor, it's Efshel Levara. Why is it Efshel Levara? So the days of the Rekech it wasn't Efshel Levara. The days of the Shach it wasn't Efshel Levara. It's not as that's very Efshel Levara. So we'll get a sonogram. The sonogram will tell you. Okay, the sonogram is not 100% accurate, but it's still fairly accurate. I don't know. So in my family, he was 4 for 4. So the sonogram so far has been right every time. So come to, a lot of posts come today and say that maybe this whole sveik sveika just fell by the wayside, because when you have an Eishes Kohen Muberes, so the woman's in our 7th month, so either she knows already, she may very well know already that she's carrying a boy, or even if she doesn't know, let her go get a sonogram. And the truth is that one can argue, well, it's not so Efshel Levara B'Kal, the insurance company's not going to pay for it, but when you're going through a monthly sonogram anyway, whenever you go for a regular sonogram, so she asks the doctor, what is it? Now you don't want to know what it is, you don't want to find out, okay, but you know, don't go to the Olam Eis. If you want to be able to go to the Olam Eis, you're on the Chari, it's booth, you have to figure out what the facts are, if you want to rely on the Skula. Unless one wants to argue with the Rekech and the Shach altogether, unless one wants to argue, then maybe there are other reasons why it's Mutas. That's an other possible question. Some posts can raise the issue of Rabbi Zitter mentioned. Maybe L'Hachal B'Yadayim doesn't apply before the baby's born. There are others who say, maybe it's not Kohen yet. Maybe you only get Kedushas Kuhuna when you're born. So the Magen Avraham is a different from the Gavin. The Magen Avraham says, maybe the baby's not Mekabel Tumah because the baby's inside the mother. So maybe it's not even Shayas. They didn't have Tumah B'Tar. Okay, so you have a half a dozen other reasons why maybe we could permit it even without the Sveik Sveika. But at the end of the day, the Rekech and the Shach said the Sveik Sveika. So therefore, there are some posts who are Machmer B'Zman Hazeh that they would not let an Eishes Kohen Muberes go to Olam Eis, go to funeral, to the cemetery, because of this chashash that it's Epsil of Arbakal. I remember I had a Shabbat a couple months ago. Somebody called me that she had to go to a funeral the next morning. She called me 10 o'clock at night and she said whatever month she was in, a fourth month, fifth month, whatever it was, and she said she didn't know yet what she's having and she really, really supposed to go to this funeral. And it's not Epsil of Arbakal. The funeral is 9 o'clock the next morning. It's 10 o'clock at night. She's going to go run, find someone to do a sign for in the middle of the night. So that's really not Epsil of Arbakal. So maybe you could argue, maybe then, Taki could rely on this fake figure. So I told him, the fear of that, plus all the other reasons that other poskim would disagree with the whole premise of the request. I said, such circumstances, Shasachach, one would have a right to be mateful. But under normal circumstances, probably the more correct thing to do is that the Eishes Kohen Muberis wants to go to Olam Eis, she should have to find out what the facts are.
I have two special areas outside. One for the
That's right. There is one last issue that comes up in terms of the Lahakha B'Yadayim. It's an issue that Dr. Belzon touched upon, is that most of these Surah Lahakha B'Yadayim we've been focusing on have been in the realm of Machos HaSuras. At least those are the cases in the Gemara. And the Gemara threw in the case of Tumas Kohanim as well. But there is another case that appears in Masech HaShabbos in the 16th Torah, and that's the Isser in terms of Chilul Shabbos. And the question is, where does that come from? Why is Chilul Shabbos the same as everything else? So here, there's a major question that the post can discuss, is that L'chora, once the Torah already speaks about non-Machos HaSuras, the Torah is already speaking about Dam and Chadir and Tuma, so once you already see it goes out of the realm of pure Machos HaSuras, then the sky's the limit, and it should apply to all these Surahs. So L'chora, the Svara is that Shabbos should be no better or worse than anything else, and L'chora, we could have figured that out on our own. So come a group of post coming out, if so, we have a kasha literally in the Aseres HaDibros. And Cain, why does the Chumash have to say Lo Sasaka Malacha Ata Ovin Chavitecha? We say we make Kiddush every Shabbos morning. We say it pasuk every week. Lo Sasaka Malacha Ata Ovin Chavitecha. Who is the Bein and the Bas? Hashem Shabbos the Bein and the Bas. Who is the Bein and the Bas the Torah is speaking to? So clearly the Torah is not speaking to the Gedolim over the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. But in the post for that, that's Losasa Kamalach Atav. That's you. The Torah doesn't say Losasa Kamalach Atav Ishtecha. So the Torah is speaking to the men and the women. The Torah is speaking to some of the Yaakov, some of the Israel. The Torah is speaking to the men and women. The Torah is speaking to the Gedolim over the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So obviously, if the Torah felt the necessity to add that phrase Dincha Vitecha, that's talking to the Ketanim. Well, what did you pass it for? Don't we know the Gemara Yevamos? The Gemara Yevamos says that we learn that Lo Sachimum, Mahazim Gaol Maktanim, that trace this by Chazir, by Dam, by Tumas Kohanim, so we could extrapolate the Shabbos. So what's the Chiddush of Lo Saskal Loch Ata Vin Chavitecha? So there is a suggestion that's called the Reb Chaim. I don't know where it's in print by Reb Chaim himself. I think the only place that I've seen it, it's called in the Shuvah Sachiyazah. Reb Chaim always has said that he heard the Reb Chaim Briska the following tariff. Reb Chaim said, the Chiddush of Lo Saskal Malacha is to tell me that whereas in other areas of Halacha it's an Issa Kloli, means there's a general list to cause Tanan to be Chaytek. When I ask my child to eat Trefas, so I'm not eating Trefas, I'm not violating Machos HaSuras, I'm violating a general heading, a general category called Sahazik Dol Machtanim. When I push the baby carriage into the basic forest, I'm not violating Tumas Kohanim, I'm violating Sahazik Dol Machtanim. But when I cause a child to Mechal Shabbos, I'm called Mechal Shabbos. That's called Chilul Shabbos. The fact that I'm being machshil another Jew, even a katan, under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, Chilul Shabbos, I'm actively causing the child to be Mechal Shabbos. That's called an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's an Issa Proti rather than Issa Kloli. That's the Chiddush of Losasik of Malachas. You search for Reb Chaim. It's a brisk Ketari of the Aseres HaDibros. That means before the Aseres HaDibros, I would have thought there's an Issa Kloli. Kamashpa is an Issa Proti. Might not be the end of the day, it's also, who cares whether it's a Kloli or it's a Proti? So when I saw this verse from Reb Chaim Elazar, quoting from the name of Reb Chaim, it hit me that I finally understood a story. The famous Maaseh for Reb Chaim, I never really understood, but according to this Kibbutz of Reb Chaim, now the story makes sense. What was the story? Maaseh Shek HaChaya, that one Shabbos, the Erev and Brisk fell down. In Europe, they had an Erev and Brisk. So the Brisk itself, but not, I can't tell you, but the Brisk itself, there was an Erev. But why did they need an Erev? So the main reason why they needed an Erev in the towns in Europe wasn't so much for the baby carriages, was for the cholent, because people didn't have their own cholent ovens. Everyone brought the cholent Friday afternoon to the baker's oven. They'd come Shabbos morning and pick up the cholent. So one carried home. So one Shabbos, the Erev broke down. The Erev fell down. So Reb Chaim sat by the baker's oven. So whenever people would come to come pick up the cholent, he'd say, you can't carry your cholent back. There's no way. The Erev fell down. Stop. So apparently the way the story goes that there was a mother came with her little girl under the age of Bas Mitzvah to come and pick up the children. So Reb Chaim said, you can't carry the children because there's no Erev. So the mother said, okay, good. Well, thank you for telling me. So she turns to a little girl and she says to a girl, you should carry, you okay, you pick up the children, you carry the children to home. So Reb Chaim said, "You didn't know what I said." They said, "You're not allowed to carry the child. You're not allowed to ask your child to carry the child either." So she yelled at the Rosh from the Rosh. So like, you know, Reb Chaim didn't. The story didn't include that piece of information. So Reb Chaim said, "I told you. Not only you're not allowed, you're not allowed to tell the child either." So the mother said, "No, just tell the girl. Just forget what the rabbi said. Just take the child." So this went on for a little bit. So Reb Chaim turns to Shammas and he says, "Go home to this woman's husband and tell him that he has to throw out all the wine in the house because his wife is a Michal Shabbos for Hesia." That's the way the story goes. So when I heard the story, I was wondering, who said she was Michal Shabbos? She wouldn't carry the children. She was telling her daughter to carry the children. So why is she called Michal Shabbos for Hesia? She's called Machshel Sakatim for Hesia. So the answer is Reb Chaim Shitosel. The Reb Chaim story is she tells the way it's called for Reb Chaim Reza. Reb Chaim held, this is called Chil Shabbos. So that's called Chil Shabbos for Hesia. Everyone's there and everyone's watching this. And she's telling, don't listen to the rabbi, don't tell the little girl to carry the children. That's the Chil Shabbos for Hesia. And that's only true because of Chaim Elders, it's a prophet, not a clothing. So, Kopanim, this did a machal katam the Adayim. So, the din for sure exists. Whether it exists by the Rabbanans also, it's Bachar Yiram and the Rash and the Ran, even with the Rash and the Ran, there are slight differences. Then you have Rabbi Kivega's old Sigil Torah about how you can sometimes reconstruct the case to be the Torah HaKotim, rather than the Torah HaGadol. Then we had the issue as it plays out in terms of the Mulberas, in terms of being Machshelos HaKotim, even before he's actually born, even before the mitzvah, before the baby's actually born. Then you have Rabbi Chaim's fancy Sigil Torah that the din of Machshel Yadayim, Lagabi Shabbos, may be fundamentally different than Lahachshelos HaKotim, Lahachshelos HaKotim. In all other areas of Allah. Okay.
So it must be
in Chaim
didn't hold
in the
Kivega. Because that was
a Torah Kodol,
not that
John. I don't
know. Maybe the other one is a Torah Kodol. The question is, good morning, Yavamos.
Okay, came out right there?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Okay, great, good. We'll see you.
So then we expect good morning, Yavamos.
Good.